This shiur has been brought to you from the Sharim Audio Library. For information about Sharim or to order additional CDs, please visit our website, www.sharim.com, or email sharim@sharim.com. Thank you for making Sharim part of your continual learning experience.
Okay, we are on the Derech Hashem. With Bezat Hashem, we should have a great class today. And we are on Chelek Aleph, Perek Revi'i, which is the fourth chapter, Vav. So in the gray book, it is page 64. Chelek Aleph, Perek Dalet. David HaMelech told Shlomo HaMelech before he passed away, he told him, Da et Hashem Elokecha. You should know Hashem your God. What does that mean, you should know Hashem your God? It means that your religion should not be a leap of faith. And it's so fundamental to go through the basics of Judaism and just have everything clear cut. It just makes such a big, you know, difference in your service to the Almighty. Now we're on section Vav, Vehine. We're going to talk about the root of serving God. Vehine. Shoresh kol inyan havodahu. What is the root of a service of God? Hiyot ha'adam pone tamid lebor'o. The person should always turn to the Almighty. Now, what does the word root, shoresh, mean? If I was to explain something as shoresh, as root, what does that mean to you? It means, what does a root mean to you? You have to keep... Okay, and what's after it? You killed it. You totally killed it. Killed the moment. Totally killed the moment. I had it, like I was there. Now I'm just going to say it. So the root, I'm just kidding, I hope you guys don't mind sense of humor. Really, I hope you, I don't mean to like insult anyone. Not that you have a choice, and if you don't like it, then you should leave. So, but I'm just saying that the root means the following. It means that if this is the root of your service to the Almighty, then it's the Almighty expects us to nurture it and to have it grow. Because if I tell you this is the root, you know, of something, let's get to the root of it, and then we'll develop it from there on. So what we've been talking about is the root of Judaism, of the root of your service to the Almighty, and we expect you to develop more, not just to stay with what it is now, right? So the point is, Hiyot ha'adam pone tamid lebor'o. The person should always turn to the Almighty. V'hushe yeda v'yavin, he should know and understand, shu lo nivra el eliyot midabek lebor'o. The sole reason that you were created is to cling to the Almighty, is to become one with God. Therefore, your job, our job in this world, is to constantly turn towards God. The sole purpose of you being in this world is to conquer your evil inclination. And you should take your mind and subjugate it, and you should take your body, excuse me, and subjugate it to your mind. So what this does is a few things. First of all, we're talking about the fact that you have to constantly cling to the Almighty, turn to the Almighty. That means that there is no such thing as mundane in our life. Every part of our life, every step that we take, you always have to keep in mind, is this going to bring me closer to God or further away? Everything. Okay? Every financial decision you make. Every logistic decision you make. What you're going to spend, how you're going to spend your life. Is it going to bring me closer to God or further away? Now, closer to God doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to eventually turn into a sacrifice on the altar. What it means is you could, obviously, and Judaism is all for living your life, just making sure that you're living it productively. So if you're thinking about a career, so you should think about which path is going to bring me closer to God. If you're going to take and embark on something that's going to pull you away, you might want to think that twice. If you're talking about a dating relationship, then you should think about, is this person going to help me build a good Jewish home? Are you going to think about a place to live? Is this just a nice house, or is it a place where I can grow with my family spiritually as well? So everything, you always have to plug in to like the root of what it's, you know, what is it going to bring you closer to God or not? And our job is to constantly conquer our evil inclination. So like we've mentioned numerous times, if you notice that there are tests that are constantly coming your way, that means that you're doing your job right, not wrong. What that means is that you are on a spiritual high, especially if you're receiving what's called spiritual tests. Much different than physical tests, they're spiritual tests. For example, they're physical materialistic tests, for example, between, let's just say, should I eat this non-kosher object or should I not? That's a test. But there's a spiritual test, which is like a test of confusion, meaning you might be going through a time period in your life where certain, you have to take a certain brave step and it looks very bleak and you don't understand how it could work out. Kosher definitely could be a spiritual test, but it's a little bit more of a base type of situation, meaning should I eat this non-kosher item or should I not? It's definitely a spiritual test, but even within spiritual tests, there's a higher level. There's a level of like, you know, even within that, you have spiritual tests that they could pull you in a different direction. Tests of confusion, tests of non-clarity, that is a sign that you're a spiritual person, unless you did it to yourself, unless you put yourself in that situation, okay? So our job is to constantly subjugate our body to our mind. Hetzech kavat ha-chomer ha-mtiyato, this is opposite of our materialism. Everything that you do is within, you know, with that in mind. So always bring yourself closer to the Almighty. Okay. So the basic things that you have in life, when you turn, you look for, is this going to bring me closer or further away? Then you know you're doing your purpose. Now my question is like this: how does a person come to cling to God? What's the path that a person comes to cling to God? So the best and healthiest way to start is, it says in Iyov, Mibsari Echze Eloka, from my own flesh I will see God. Meaning our job is to take our everyday life, that's really what we should focus on, is to take our everyday life. When we say from my flesh I will see God, that means that from the things that are closest to me I will see the Almighty. So our job is to find the hidden spirituality in everything that's going on. That's a spiritual life. That's a life that's plugged in. That you might be doing something that's mundane, but you have to find where it is that God is hiding behind it. If something occurs to you, you meet somebody, you end up somewhere, you get a certain job, you're studying a class, always thinking about, you know, what is God bringing me here for? What does He want from me? And even from your own self, a person has to spend time thinking about his own spirituality, his own, you know, essence. And that's why the verse says, Dama lemala mimcha. You should know that if you want to know what's above, mimcha. Look at your own self. Don't go far for spirituality. Take it within your own life. Okay, let's go on. Zayin. This action, this way of what we're discussing, separated into two parts. There's one part of your life that mitzvot that you have to do because you're commanded. There's another part of your life that is also part of serving the Almighty, but you do it because you're forced to do it. The first thing is mitzvot, commandments. There's another part of your life that's not just commandments, but it's things that you need to live. So what we have to discuss is how is that plugged into the service of the Almighty. The goal of the mitzvot is to teach you how to make yourself into a spiritual being. For example, keeping kosher, dressing modestly, family purity, blessings, prayer, all these things, the goal is to transform your physical body into a spiritual being so that it can be compatible in the world to come. That's the goal of the mitzvot. It helps you emulate as much as possible the Almighty. Now, what we have to discuss is that the Ramchal is bringing up a point that other than the mitzvot, and this is very important, fundamental point is that other than the mitzvot themselves, that's not where service to the Almighty stops. There's a certain, I know the Sfaradim have this, like we have this, we're like, you know, sort of like keep God in the synagogue, but out of the synagogue, like business is business, you know, don't get involved with, you know, there's such a, like, such a thing, like, you know, where spirituality is one place, but the rest of my life is something else. And the Ramchal is battling that aspect. He's saying, there's the mitzvot, there's the commandments that we have, lighting candles and the like, praying, tefillin, tzitzit, all that. But there's other parts of your life that have to be equally as spiritual. Why did God do that? Why did God make it that there's not just commandments, but the rest of our life also has to be spiritual? Why is that so? What do you guys think? Why not just give us commandments? There's more. You have to live, also incorporate God into your life. Okay, very good. Very good. I would like to add also that when we get up to the heavens, right, after 120, they're going to show us our life. If the mitzvot were the only things that plugged us into God and made us spiritual, then if I'm not doing a mitzvah at that particular moment, if I'm not praying, saying a blessing, lighting candles, or putting on tefillin, so I have a whole chunk of my life that's void. For example, when I'm sleeping, so you want to tell me that all my time that I'm sleeping is a waste? So God found a path to make it spiritual. How? If you use it to get closer to God, you get credit for sleeping. It's such a fundamental point, meaning taking things that are everyday and mundane and turning them into spirituality. That is really the battle of serving God. Meaning, of course it's a challenge to perform the mitzvot, but it's more of a challenge to go shopping for clothes for God. Of course it's a challenge to serve the mitzvot, to do the mitzvot. I'm not saying it's just a walk in the park. But to buy your clothes and to dress and to say that God enters into that as well is a little bit more of a challenge. Or it's a concept that, you know, Judaism holds unique. And this, for example, answers a certain point. The point is that who knows where the first mitzvah pops up in the Torah? In Shemot. In Shemot, that means the whole Bereshit, there's not one mitzvah mentioned. The entire Bereshit, there's not one mitzvah. Endless verses that are superfluous, are extra. The answer is, what is the Torah telling us? What is in Bereshit? We have Avraham, Noach, Yitzchak, their whole lifestyle. The Torah is telling you that you could lead just your lifestyle, and that is Torah, that is mitzvot, that is godliness. Don't think that just a mitzvah, a commandment, is doing God's will. Living life also has to be doing God's will. And that is really where the battle is today. Because society pulls us away from that concept. You know, there's class time, you take a test, you give a new paper, you hand in your hours and you're set. After that, you're off work and you're finished. But God's saying, no, I'm with you in every aspect. I'm with you when you have vacation. I'm with you when you're sleeping. I'm with you when you wake up. I'm with you with how you put your shoes. I'm with you when you see your friends. And the beauty of it is, the power of it is that we can get to a point in our lives where everything is spiritual. If a person goes to sleep, just to pick on that, so that they can wake up early, or wake up on time, or wake up, you know, healthy, that turns into service of God, just like putting on tefillin. If you buy nice clothes because you're working on your modesty, and you want to feel comfortable with yourself, and you dress nice, and you spend that extra money for that, that clothes that you have bought is like a sacrifice in the eyes of the Almighty. It's like a korban. Really understand the significance of this? What we're doing is we're taking every part of our life and making it spiritual. Everything is meaningful. There's no part of our life that's not meaningful. That's a very, very important concept to internalize. You can be enjoying yourself in life. You can be going down to Froyo, walking down the steps, and that is service of the Almighty. Why? I need a break. I've been studying for the past 8-10 hours, and I need a break. That break is part of service to the Almighty. You shouldn't feel guilty like you're not doing something productive. Ma'inu ki hu mekayem chefso b'masu tzivahu she'aseh ma'aseh hu ve'oseh. V'shinit, kine b'ma'aseh hu hineu mishtalem b'echad ממדרגות השלמות שהיא תולדת המצווה היא, כמו שזכר. והנה מתקיים חפצו יתברך שמו שהוא חפץ שיהיה אדם משתלם ומגיע ליהנות בטובו יתברך שמו. אכן, מה שאדם משתמש, however, I'm a few lines into this, When a person uses this world for his own needs, a person has to limit himself that it coincides with the will of the Almighty. So when you want to use something that has to do with this world, first make sure that there's nothing that goes against the will of the Almighty. Make sure that it fits within the confines. It's not stolen, it's yours, it's permitted, you're allowed to use it. And it also has to be healthy. You also have to give your existence on the best side possible. Meaning that health and taking part of your body is just as much part of service of the Almighty as is praying and making a blessing. Why? Because we are all created in the image of God. You're taking care of a vessel that's a replica, so to speak, quote unquote, of the Almighty. And more than that, this is the tool that you're able to use to serve God. So for us to do things that are mundane, but they make our life comfortable, That in itself is part of service to Almighty. For example, the Gemara says, when you get married, you should marry somebody handsome or pretty, and you should that to you, and you should live in a nice house to you as well. Why? Because then you're able to serve God better. That doesn't sound spiritual. The answer is the Torah goes down to the depths of who you are and understands that if you want to live a happy life, you have to be attracted to the person that you're married to. On whatever level it might be. Why is that so? Because God understands how to work with the confines of the human being. And just to abstain from any materialism at any form, we know where that's going to end up. Okay? So it's important that we appreciate these points. Furthermore, I'm skipping a little bit. Ukshiyeh adam mishtamesh me'olam al derech hazeh, hinei yimasa tasmishahu ba'atmo po'el ha'slimut. When a person uses the world properly, then what happens? You are actually perfecting the world. When a person uses the world properly, then you are actually perfecting the world. You use what it is that you have used now turns into perfection. For example, the Gemara says that when you pour wine or when you give food to a Torah sage, it's as if you're putting food on the altar. You're married to somebody who's learning, right? And you're serving him lunch or whatnot. It's as if you're giving God a sacrifice. Why? You're helping somebody sit and learn Torah. What do you mean, sit and learn? Chicken. And rice. And if you're Persian, it's burnt rice. Nice. Yeah, it's burnt. I was in LA. I have to say it again. And I said before I went there, I was supposed to speak in like the one of the like biggest shuls there. And I said it's like the Persian headquarters, and like you walk in there, like everybody's talking Persian. I said I have to make a Persian joke in public. It's like I gotta do it. I just can't not, you know. So I was asked to speak. So I spoke, and it was like, you know, what it's like in that Netzach, right? There's like 400 people there in the synagogue, whatever. It's like a big hall. And I get up, and the first thing I did was made a Persian joke, and I checked where the door was in case I would have to run. Worked that okay? No, I can't say it. I'm being recorded. But no, but it's true. The Persians have like burnt rice. They like their specialty is burnt rice. And it was tajik, right? It's burnt. Yeah, I know. In my house we call it burnt rice. They're like, you must have from our tajik. I'm like, it's burnt. What do you mean? This is special. I'm like, it's burnt. You don't like it? No, it's burnt. You must have from the tadik. So, as we were saying before, we were so rudely interrupted by my sense of humor. Let's go on. So the point being that when a person uses this world for spiritual matters, the beauty of it is that he actually sanctifies that materialism that he has used. He's actually perfected that materialism that he has used. There's a famous story in the Gemara where Hillel, we've heard of Hillel and Shammai. Hillel, it was a Torah sage, in times of, 2,000 years ago, he was running once. When you see the leader of the generation running, you run after him. So his students were running after him and said, "Where are you going, Rebbe?" So he's running, and he's got a towel. He says, "I'm going to do a mitzvah." He said, what mitzvah? He said, I'm going to take care of my body. I'm going to shower. He said, that's the mitzvah? He goes, what do you mean? I'm created in the image of the Almighty. What was he bringing out? He's bringing out that what we might think as seemingly mundane is actually a high part of service of the Almighty. And that's how we have to approach everything. There's no such thing as mundane and secular. Everything is spiritual. The question is, if you plug it in, every aspect of your life is spiritual. And that's the beauty of Judaism, is that you can take every moment and make it meaningful. There's a famous story that here in Jerusalem occurred. In Jerusalem a few years ago, somebody cut open a watermelon. It's a true story. When Zichron Zachar of Kaduri was alive, he cut open a watermelon and they saw literally a form of a face in the watermelon. They brought it to Rav Kaduri. He says, it's a Gilgul. It's a reincarnation. He says, what do you mean? He says, somebody did something wrong and they sent him back down here. Well, I guess. That's how the story is. You like grapefruit? Okay, so the story of the grapefruit. You can come back in, not you, but like a person come back in any form. There's no question of that. So he came down and they showed it to Rav Kaduri and he said, this is obviously a Gilgul, it was quite evident. And what they did was they sliced it up and they... I love teaching a girl seminary. Did he eat the watermelon? They're going to kill him. Ah. Right? You guys are stuck. It's like when we had that tefillah that day we went to Kvarim and then we were like driving on the bus and it was like a bunch of like calves there, cows and whatever, and like unison, the whole, like all the girls on the bus was like, oh, and like me and my son were like, stink, wow, stop the bus. Anyway, so the point being that they sliced it up, they gave it to different Kabbalist rabbis to make a special blessing of it, to fix what it was. What does that mean? It means that we have to understand that even foods and things like that, they have a certain spirituality to them that we have an opportunity to elevate. That's what happens when you make a bracha. That's why there's a mitzvah to eat meat on Shabbat. Why? Because the highest form of darkness that's trapped in materialism is in meat. When you use it on Shabbat, you perfect, in a sense, the highest form of darkness. So a person, you know, there's an inyan to eat meat on Shabbat. Why? Because that's where the biggest forces of the Yetzera are. They lie in the Kedushah. That's what he's saying here, that when you use the materialistic world and for the right intentions, it turns into spirituality and becomes a mitzvah. Ki gam ze mitzvah aleinu lishmor et gufenu b'achana aguna shenochal la'avod bo et borenu. Person actually gets a commandment, he actually gets credit for guarding his body. V'nishtamesh me'olam lekavana zo v'tachlit ze kefi mitzarech lanu. Right? So for example, even when you look at marriage, why are you getting married? You're getting married to have somebody to talk to? No. You're getting married because that's going to help, Bezat Hashem, that's going to help you perfect your service to the Almighty. Children, right? Are you getting children because you're sadistic? Are you into self-torture? Absolutely not. Right? What? Masochism, sorry. So the reason is that because you're getting, the whole concept of children is the perfection for you. Meaning when you have to, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, the baby's crying, right? And you have either, as we've mentioned before, the option of faking being sleeping or getting up so your husband could rest, or wife, then that's a test in your service to the Almighty. All these aspects are spiritual tests. Same thing with marriage, in every respect. V'nimtzenu anachnu mit'alim b'maseh zeh, not only are we elevated in these materialistic acts, but also ha'olam atzmo mit'aleh b'zeh, the world itself is also elevated. And that's really the significance of what it is that we're talking about. To appreciate the fact that not only are these actions not wrong, they're right, materialism, you have to use it for the proper form. And that's really our task. For example, when you're sitting on the Shabbat table and you're about to dig into that chocolate cake and you're like, L'chavod Shabbat Kodesh. Yeah, right. L'chavod your stomach. That's the real test. Like, you know, it's, as they always say, it's easy to die, not easy, but it's easier to die al Kiddush Hashem, but to live sanctifying the name of the Almighty, that's the real test. You yourself as girls should appreciate this very much. Why? Because, so, the reason is society is so much you know, put down the stature of a woman. You know, it's like, you know, and what they have to do in order to receive, you know, achieve success or to be accepted or whatnot, as opposed to where the Torah really brings out the real person that you are. And it's such a different hashkafa. What are we saying here? We're saying here that you could be who you are and live your life. As long as you do it spiritually, you're successful and you're serving God. That's really something that we all have to appreciate. It's exact opposite of what the society today has managed to almost get itself exactly opposite of what the Torah feels is right. And you as women should appreciate this. Meaning it's such, the Torah gives such a source of strength to appreciating your daily life and making things significant, and that you don't have to be, you know, change or conform in order to be respected and be chashuva. You know, so I'm saying, and this is what he's saying, this is what the Chacham is saying here. You take the materialistic aspects of your life, connect them to God, and then not only are you elevating them, you're elevating yourself. And we have to understand that God wants it that way. What's the proof that God intended this to be? How do we know that what the Ramchal is saying must be true? That our job is also to elevate the materialism. The reason is like what they were saying, that we can't evade materialism. So is that to say that God put part of our life in waste?
No,
obviously not. So that means that it must be that materialism can also be elevated. And it's a harder job for the woman than it is for the man, as we've mentioned before, because the women are they're more messed in materialism than men are, in terms of their life. Children, things like that. Okay, now we're going to enter into another realm. What the Ramchal just laid down is what the root of our service to the Almighty is. What we had spoken about is that it is to bring every part of our life turning towards God. And then Ramchal said it's not just the mitzvot, it's not just the commandments that they are, but it's also the materialistic aspects of our life have to be made spiritual. Now we're going to take another step forward and talk about more of an internal aspect, and that is love and fear. This that a person has to elevate and strengthen within himself, this is the love of God and the fear of God. How does a person elevate himself? How does a person create the love of God and the fear of God? What's important is a person to appreciate how high and how supreme the Almighty is, and the Otzem Shifrut HaAdam, and how the person himself is on the opposite side of the spectrum, and in terms of the whole picture of the world, how we're so small. Meaning, you know, there's like a, when I was a kid, I heard this like similar story, like there's a little helicopter that's able to fly above you. So first thing it does, it flies above your head, and then it flies above your room, and then it goes above your building, and then it goes above your city, and it'll go around, you know, your country, and it'll go out into the world, and it'll keep going endlessly. And after that, the helicopter will come back down, it'll come into your skin, and it'll go through the 7 layers of your skin, and it'll go through the flesh and into the bones. And point being is showing how broad the Almighty is and how much He's in control of, right? There's a Gemara that says that if you were to walk 500 years, you would get from, there's a certain angel, not even one of the bigger angels, it would take you 500 years to walk from the sole of his foot, to get to the sole of his, from the sole of his foot to his ankle. And then another 1,000 years from his ankle to his knee. And another 2,000, so just keep walking. That's how massive this angel is. And it says that the heavenly throne is like almost infinitely bigger than that. You know, so to understand the supremacy of the Almighty also builds within us a love of God. Why does understanding the greatness of God build within us a love of God? You tell me. What do you guys think? Why does seeing the supremacy of God build a love of God? How does that build a love of God? Yeah. Exactly. Meaning, when you see that such a supreme being is not just willing, but wants to take care of every facet of your life, that makes you feel special. Meaning if you received a letter from the president and you know it was addressed to you, that would make you feel special. So here too we have the God, the Almighty, tending to your own personal needs. That should make you feel special. Like I was once in a, I remember I was in the dorms in my yeshiva, and we were just like lounging around in the room, and my roommate said, you know, I heard there's a book that was written by Avraham Avinu. There are those that say that, like Avraham Avinu, and I was like, wow, what I wouldn't do to get my hands on it. Can you imagine a book that was written by Avraham, the real, right? Oh, by Avraham Avinu. So we're like quiet in the room. It was like a comic book. It was almost like straight out of a comic. We're like quiet. He's like, I have a book written by God. Like, put Avraham Avinu aside. I have a book written by God, the Torah. You know, it's addressed to me. So appreciating the greatness and the awesomeness, supremacy of God, and that He tends to our every need, that builds a certain sense of love. It also builds a certain sense of fear, right? That who you're standing before. The devotion of Roman Mutsu, a person should be embarrassed of the supremacy of God. The person should desire to be the ones from the ones that serve Him. He should be proud and praise His greatness. These are the tools that bring you closer to God. Appreciating the greatness of God. Seeing God's oneness in everything. That's why it's so important, like we said, to look into your life and into your own self and see God in every step. Because then you see the supremacy of God. It's not just this esoteric, like, you know, being that you have no... It's part of your essence that makes it appreciated. These aspects of your service of God bring out the darkness that lies within you and cleanses your soul. This elevates you step after step until you receive the closeness of God. So we spoke about love of God and fear of God. My question is like this. What's the difference between love of God and fear of God? Meaning to say like this, what would you say is the significance of each? When is one and when is the other? When would you use fear? I'll give you an example, and this is the example I always give. Imagine that it's Friday afternoon, and you're about to, you know, Shabbat's about to come in a minute or two, and you have your brand new Lexus, and you got to park it with the keys on the side of the road. What's going to get you to do that? Love of God or fear of God? Fear. Love of God can get you to do that, but it's a very high level. Like, to really be on that level is very, very, very high. That's very supreme. Meaning, there are certain times you need fear and certain times you need love. And we have to appreciate that because of the fact that our society is so much into just the fluff and everything is good and sweet that we push aside the fear of God. What happens if you just have love of God? What's going to go wrong? When times are tough, right, like you said, it's not going to pull you in. What happens if you only have fear of God? This is also very important to appreciate. But think for a moment. If you only have fear of God, there's no relationship. Okay, what else? You're too hard on yourself. Exactly. Meaning if you just serve God with fear, eventually it leads to someone snapping. Because everything is intense, everything is a sin, everything is going, you know, if I do this, it's terrible. Everything is, you know, it's there's no, but if you, and the other side of the spectrum, if you just love God all the time, so everything's okay, and everything's good, and everything's fine. I don't have to do anything right. So you need to have both. Within your perspective of Judaism, within your perspective of life, you have to have both, the love and the fear. You must work on both, you must appreciate both. Those are the things that are going to keep you going. Right? And in the relationship of the kids and parents, it's also love and fear. The father is fear, the mother is love. What happens if you raise a kid only with fear? Right, why? Because it's like when you raise a child only with fear and intensity, it's like taking a spring and pushing it down. So you'll be able to hold him down for 14, 15 years of his life. After that, he's going to turn around and do what he wants. What happens if you raise a kid only with love? He's a spoiled twit. Right? Meaning what? He's never going to be able to accomplish anything. So, for example, you might have kids that come from affluent families where they get everything that they want. They don't have any goals in life. Right? They can't persevere. And kids who grew up with, on the opposite side of the spectrum, where everything's a fight and a challenge, might grow up intense and not being able to. So you need both. You need both in the relationship. You need both with kids. You need both with your service of God as well. And if you look around, you see those houses that only have one. Like the parents are only lovey-dovey with the kid. The kid is hard for him to function in society. And the kids who are always intense, like you said, they can go off to death. So in every aspect, it has to be Muslim. And that's really our test, to have both. To be able to have like love and fear. Ve'unam emtsa'i echad natan lo nakeit barach shemo shemadrigato lemala mikol sh'ar emtsa'im hamkarvim adam elav. There's a tool that God gave us that is above and beyond all the other tools that bring us close to Him. Ve'hu talmud Torah. And that is the learning of Torah. Ve'hu b'shtei b'chinot. Echad b'bchinat ha'igayun v'alimud. One is actual learning it. Ve'ashnia b'bchinat ha'askara. There's understanding. So just, we have to understand that just saying the words of Torah bring us closer to God. And the second thing is understanding the words of Torah also bring us close. One can work independently of the other. Meaning just understanding without saying it also brings you close. Obviously the highest level is saying it and understanding it. כי הנה רצה בחסדו וחיבר לנו חיבור דברים כמו שגזרה חוכמתו ומסרם לנו. והיינו קלט יותר התורה. And that is the Torah. And what is the Torah? The Torah is the thought process of God. When we study Torah, what does that do? That teaches us how God would react to a situation. What God would do in this predicament. When you study Tanakh, when you study Navi, when you study Chumash, it teaches you how God thinks and how to react. ואחריו ספרי הנביאים שבסגולת הדברים האלה יהיה שמי שיגיע בהם בקדושה ובטהרה על הכוונה הנכונה. When you study it correctly, this is all obviously in a certain predicament. Meaning, when you study Torah, either for the right reason or you study it for no reason, it has a positive effect on you, on your soul. If you study Torah for the wrong reasons, meaning to find flaws and to create problems, then the Torah is the biggest form of evil that could be. It feeds, it fans the yetzara that's within you. So for example, if you just you're having a an experience with college kids and they're just studying Torah, even though they're not doing it for any specifically immense reason, but they're studying it, that'll have a good effect on them. But if someone's studying it, to find how to knock Judaism, that's not what this falls under. Similarly, the Sfat Emet explains why is the study of Zohar so valuable. The study of Zohar is so valuable because when you study Zohar, you understand that you don't understand anything. So you remove your whole being from the study. So it's like you become like this funnel straight for the Almighty Word. That's why the study of Zohar is only done at age 40, and it's a very immense, predicament. Let me just take it a step further. Go to the end of this paragraph. ובכל אלי העניינים לא די במה שקונה אדם בעצמו מלאת השלמות. When a person studies Torah, not only are you perfected, but the world is perfected. Why did God create the world in the form of day and night? Meaning, and now it's about to be night here in Jerusalem, right? Soon it's daytime in other parts of the world, so there's constant studying of the Torah. So that the world is constantly being held up by the world, by the Torah. You have to understand that that is the power source. And our sages tell us that if for a moment nobody would be studying Torah in the whole world, the world would disintegrate. Because it's the tool that brings you close. So we spoke about a few points here. We spoke about the root of the service of God. We spoke about materialism being a tool for service to the Almighty. We spoke about love and fear and how they themselves are a tool for closeness to God. And we also spoke about studying of the Torah, that the study of Torah is also a something that brings us close. I want to end off on one point. There's love, there's fear, and there's another stage. There's fear through love. It says in the verse, Ele toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham. Avraham holidet Yitzchak. Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak. What did Avraham represent? Chesed, love. What did Yitzchak represent? Din, fear. When the verse says Avraham Avinu gave birth to Yitzchak, that's an ultimately high level where you love God so much that you're scared to do something wrong. But not because you're scared of getting punished, because you don't want to upset him. You want to make him happy. In a relationship, I'll give you an example. When your husband either proposed to you or will propose to you, he goes into like weeks of planning that everything's perfect, even though he messes up and can't get the words out of his mouth, right? And you just understand and say yes. right? But, right, here's the finger, here's the ring, let's go, I'm late, right? Get it out, come on, you're such a dork, right? But why does he want everything to be perfect? Not because he's scared of you. I mean, most probably not because he's scared of you. Got to stick that one in, right? But most probably it's because of the love, the fear that comes out of love. What does that mean? He loves you so much that he wants everything to be perfect. So that's the ultimate relationship, in a sense, with God. Meaning we love God so much that we want to perform things out of perfection. Why, for example, when there's two halachic opinions, why will you follow the more stringent? Because you want to make God happy. You're not going to get punished, but it's a certain level of love. It's a certain level of, like, you want your spouse, your child, to have everything perfect. You know, before your kid leaves the house, you stand there for 25 minutes, tucking him in, straightening him up, zippering up, putting on this, you know, because you love him so much. But it's a fear that you don't want anything to go wrong. That's like an ultimate love. Okay, we'll stop here, guys.